Well, good morning again. How are we doing today?
Good.
Yeah, I hear that. Forgive me if my voice is a little different today. My ears are plugged. My head stopped up. I am a mess. But I am here. Do you ever face doubt? Doubt if you're a Christian, doubt what you heard was true, doubt what you see is true. Could that really happen? Today I want to look at Matthew 11. So let's turn to Matthew chapter 11. It starts out with messengers from John the Baptist. Since the imprisonment had already been mentioned in Matthew 4:12, but the circumstances leading up to it are not described in detail until 14:3-12, when the manner of John's death is also recounted. The works of Christ refers to his miracles. He that should come refers to the predicted Messiah of Old Testament prophecy, whose coming had already been proclaimed by John. The blind receiving their sight is an allusion to Isaiah, where it is stated that this will be one of the works performed by the Messiah. Hence, Jesus was clearly vindicating his messiahship to John, who many have begun to wonder about his own circumstances. As we know, John the Baptist was Jesus' cousin. He was baptizing people to make straight the way of God, baptizing the Jews into coming back to the God that they had forsaken. When Jesus came to be baptized, John didn't want to baptize him. John thought that Jesus should baptize him. Jesus is Lord, after all, not John. But for Jesus to be fulfilled in prophecy, John needed to baptize him. As we later on understand, John was put in prison, and we know the story from there. But in chapter 11, the messengers from John the Baptist came to Jesus and asked him. Verse 1 says, "And it came to pass when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another?" There's the doubt. Are you really the Christ? Are you really the one that John has been proclaiming? Are you really God incarnate? Even as Christians today, I think we sometimes face that doubt when we face trials and tribulations and trouble. But we can rest assured that Jesus is Lord. "For Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again these things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended by me." If we look at today's world and we even think about mentioning the name of Jesus, we've already offended somebody. but we can't let that stop us. We speak of a loving God who sent his Son to do his good will and to die a horrible death so that sinful man could be redeemed. We must never forget that. We must never doubt that. And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes the multitudes concerning John, "What went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what ye went out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare the way before thee." Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. That is, a man greater than John the Baptist. Mm-hmm. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. John was the last of the great prophets before Jesus. The quotation in verse 10 is from Matthew 3:1. John was recognized as the foreordained messenger of the Savior, and technically the last of the Old Testament prophets. The weakest believer who has the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of the risen Christ will be in a more privileged position than the greatest of the Old Testament prophets. Them that are born of women, mere mortal men, the idea being that the greatest of all in this life cannot be compared with the glory of the life to come. We can all think about what heaven's like. We've read through Revelation with Jim the last couple, 3 months, and he explained what the biblical perception of heaven is. And here the scripture is saying that those who believe in a risen Christ are in a better position than the greatest prophets. It's amazing why someone like me or you could be in a better position than John the Baptist, Isaiah, Ezekiel. I don't know how that's going to work, but I don't know all the intricacies of God in heaven. I guess we'll find that out at a later date. It says, "And if you will receive it," this is Elias, which was for to come. "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." It was prophesied that Elias would come again. Elijah the prophet was taken up in a whirlwind, so he never died. But did he come again as John the Baptist? Well, Scripture just said this is Elias, which was for to come. I believe this is the spirit of Elias, not Elias himself. But whereunto shall I liken this generation? It is likened to children sitting in the markets and calling unto their fellows, and saying, we have piped unto you, you have not danced. We have mourned unto you, ye have not lamented. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they said, he hath a devil. The Son of Man come eating and drinking, and they say, behold, a man gluttonous, and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. For wisdom is justified of her children. So it's kind of like between a rock and a hard place. Excuse me. John came, not eating or drinking. They said he had a devil. Jesus came eating and drinking. They said he was a winebibber, gluttonous. Well, which do you want? You can have it both ways. You can starve yourself to death, or you can drink yourself to death. But I think somewhere in the middle is what actually happened. John came knowing he had a short time to prepare Israel for the coming of the Christ. Christ came trying to save the lost souls of Israel. John didn't bother with food and drink, maybe just enough to keep him going. Jesus ate and drank with the sinners and the publicans, trying to save their poor, wretched souls. Today we have religious groups that want to be standoffish. They're not like us. We don't like them. They don't dress like we do. They're all tattooed. Now, it doesn't matter. Jesus died for everyone. Everyone needs to hear the message. Those in the bars, in the restaurants, in the tattoo parlors need to hear the message just as well as the ones sitting front and center in the pews of every church throughout the world. If we don't go where the sinners are, how are the sinners going to hear? How are they going to see how Christians live? How are they going to know what they're doing is wrong and can be changed? It's a travesty that some who claim to be Christians only want to be Christians. They don't want to go out and get their feet dirty. They don't want to go out and slop the hogs, feed the cattle, reach the people that need the word. They want to stand up in their three-piece suits, in their air-conditioned pews, telling people of the love of God. But when it comes right down to it, The love of God is going out, telling our friends, our neighbors, our co-workers why we believe what we believe, why we do what we do, why we don't do what they do. It's not condemning them. It's not telling them that we don't like you. It's an educational process. We love you, therefore this is what you should do. I don't chastise you for being a drunk, an addict, whatever. Ours is not to judge. Ours is to inform. Ours is to teach. We have the Word of God. We can take the Bible with us. We can just show them our love through being with them while they're sick, while they're injured, while they're going through a depressed time. We don't have to thump the Bible, beat the pulpit, cram it down their throat. That usually doesn't work with people. It doesn't work with me, I know for sure. You try to shove something down my throat and I'm going to fight back. Sometimes just to sit there quietly, listen, be a shoulder, be an ear. And when they open up, be there with the Word of God. John the Baptist knew he was going to die, but there was still that little bit of doubt. Did I do the right thing? Was I really heralding the Christ? Is the one I baptized and told everybody that I wasn't worthy to loosen his shoes really the Christ? Yes, he was. And yes, John did right. And yes, it cost John his life. I believe John is still John. The Old Testament, I don't know if they've been resurrected yet or not. That's not my call. I think maybe they'll be resurrected at the time of our resurrection. And then we'll see what the difference is between the Old Testament and the New Testament saints. One difference is we have the Holy Spirit. John didn't. The Holy Spirit may have been upon him at times, or it may have been upon him all the time, I don't know. But in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit came and went. With Jesus still being alive, I don't see how the Holy Spirit can permanently indwell. Because Jesus hadn't called the Holy Spirit yet. Once Jesus died, was resurrected, and ascended to heaven, he asked the Father to send a helper. That's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit indwells every human being that believes in Jesus, that believes Jesus is the Son of God. The Holy Spirit can then help us decide right from wrong. He also shows us things that we should do, things we shouldn't do. He also gives us peace and understanding in times of chaos and calamity. If we think about the times when we've lost a loved one or heard about a child being murdered or heard about a terrible windstorm in Kansas that knocked out a whole town. How do those people get on with their lives without the Holy Spirit leading them, comforting them? If they have no Jesus, they have no hope. And they look at Christians in the same boat and wonder, how can they stay so calm? How can they deal with the tragedy, with the loss, with the suffering? We have the Holy Spirit. That's the difference. Christ is with us. And we are with Christ. When we feel depressed, angry, sad, we can talk to Jesus directly. We don't have to go to a confessional in a Catholic church and talk to a priest. We can sit quietly and pray, and the peace of Christ will come upon us. It's hard to believe, but we can rest in Jesus. After Jesus spoke to the people, he condemned some cities. Verse 20 says, then he began to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. Woe unto thee, Chorazin. Woe unto thee, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. These people have seen the mighty works of Jesus. We hear secondhand. These people knew the man, shook hands with him, talked with him. All we have is a few excerpts of his life. Yet they didn't believe, and we do believe. It's amazing. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. He's telling the Jews that the Gentiles will have it easier, have it better. Because they believe in something unseen, and the Jews don't believe what they see. And thou, Capernaum, which are exalted into heaven, shall be brought down to hell, for it is the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. We all know the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, the sinful cities, how God and Abraham, looking for 10 righteous people, couldn't find them. How about 5? Couldn't find them. Is there anyone? They found Lot. They told Lot what was going to happen. They told him to take his house and leave. Lot, his wife, and his 2 daughters left. They were told not to look back. Of course, his wife had to look back, and she turned into a pillar of salt. They had injury to insult. The 2 daughters didn't think they'd ever find a man. They got Lot drunk, had sex with him, had babies with him. Man, this is one messed up world. If you just trust Jesus, that's not to say that everything's going to be hunky-dory, gorgeous, glorious. That's to say that there is a way to get through it. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. There again, at that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent, and hath revealed them unto babes. We're not talking little babies here, we're talking young people in Christ. By young people, I mean those who just now have understood what Christ is, who Christ is, what he can do for them. You could be 10, 11 years old. You could be 90, 100 years old. You could be standing on the cross right beside Jesus and accept the Lord as Savior. We know that's fact by the reading of the Bible. Jesus was hung with three men, one on each side, Jesus in the middle. One accepted Christ. One railed upon Christ. Christ turned to the one and said, this day you'll be with me in paradise. If that doesn't say anything for a deathbed confession, I don't know what does. Just before they break your legs and you suffocate. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight, all things are delivered unto me. If I can get my eyes to straighten up. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son. And he to whosoever the Son will reveal him. So the Father knows the Son. The Son knows the Father. And the Son has the power to reveal the Father to whomsoever he will. I think the Son reveals himself to everyone. But in God's glorious creation, he gave us choice. God chooses us. Jesus reveals himself. Now it's up to us. Do we choose Jesus? Or do we choose not Jesus? A lot of times we hear the stories of when we're children, whether it's going to Bible school, going to church, hearing it from our friends, going to camp. Sometimes our parents, grandparents don't bother taking us to church. But as we hear the word, it gets us thinking. And as God reveals himself more and more through his word, through school, through those around us, now we have a choice. Just like any other choice. Is it a glass of beer, a glass of water, and a glass of wine? Which do you want to drink? You have a choice. Christ, not Christ, God, not God. You have a choice. God reaches down his hand. Do we take it and hold on? Or do we ignore it? What a question. Sometimes we look at the world around us and think, well, this is more fun. Well, we go to parties, we go to ball games, we play golf, all kinds of things. We go to college and they teach us all different kinds of religions, all different kinds of philosophies. Teach us a new way of doing things. But if we look back, it's still the old way. There's no other way. The way to heaven is through Jesus. No one gets to heaven but through me. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. What a statement. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. Until you try to stand up and tell somebody else about Jesus, and he pops you in the mouth. Until you try to pray in a lunchroom and they send you to detention, if not worse. Call the police. You're offending someone. That's easy enough. Jesus said, if the world hates you, it hated me first. You'll find persecution if you trust in Jesus. The obvious question is, do you stand up for Jesus and let him handle the persecution? It cost John the Baptist his life, but he stood up for Jesus. He did what God wanted him to do. It cost the 12 apostles their lives. They stood up for Jesus. They did what God wanted them to do. It cost all the martyrs throughout time their lives. But they stood up for Jesus and did what God wanted them to do. But yet there are others who just write songs praising Jesus, telling of Jesus' love, reaching those who don't go to church but listen to a radio or watch TV. They show the love of God in a different way. Is their work lighter, easier? I don't know. The burden's the same. We know the story. We tell the story. The Holy Spirit condemns those who listen, or not condemn, that wouldn't be the right word. I guess he would help those who don't understand. and bring them closer to God through Jesus. So we knew all the Old Testament prophets ended with John. Jesus went from John and is still going. He sits at the right hand of God. He instills in us the power to speak the gospel. We have a group within our missionaries, the Bible Bridge. It's not just English she's selling or sending out. She's sending out Bibles in different languages to different countries, reaching those that I wouldn't have an opportunity to reach. I don't speak any other language but English, and I do that haltingly. But with what little bit of money we can give, what little bit of money somebody else gives, she can get these Bibles printed in different languages and get them into the hands of the people who may have never heard the gospel of Christ. And that's a good thing. We think we can't do anything because we don't speak foreign languages. We don't have a chance to go to inner cities or to prisons or whatever. Instead of taking that $20 and buying a case of beer or going out to eat, you could put it in a fund and do for others, like the Bible Bridge, midday religious education. Some of that is the only time these children get to learn anything about Christ. And if you talk to some of our junior church leaders, especially some of the old ones, like Miss Sue, Shelley said, these kids are running around and I don't know whether I'm doing anything right. I don't know whether they're understanding me. 10, 15, 20 years, these same kids that's running around raising ruckus come back and thank you for telling them about Jesus. They can repeat what you told them about Jesus. It may not look like they know what you're doing, but they're soaking up the gospel. They're soaking up the stories, the songs, the lessons. And that's a good thing. Sometimes I think it'd be just as good for the older folks to study and listen, besides on a Sunday morning. We used to have Sunday school, but then it kind of filtered out. It's filtered out in a lot of churches. It's hard to get people to stop for an hour and a half, to listen to stories of God and Jesus, let alone trying to make it 2 hours. So as we go today, we can rest assured that we can rest in Jesus. If we trust the Lord, we can be with Him. And if we be with Him, we can stand for Him. We can tell others about Him. We can show others His grace and His love. In and of ourselves, we can't save anyone. That's not our job. Our job is to teach, to tell, to enlighten. It is the Holy Spirit's job to convince. It is Jesus who saves. We're just His hands, His feet, His mouthpiece. Because if we don't speak about Jesus, who will? We could teach our kids, we could show our neighbors, we could tell those we work with. It's not that hard. I guess that's what it means. My yoke is easy. Teach, show, tell. You don't have to stand up in front of a crowd and preach the gospel. Just tell someone what Christ has done for you. Maybe for the umpteenth time, they've heard it and will recognize it. You know, that might just work. Get down on their knees and pray. Let Christ into their heart. And then we've added one to the family. And that's a good thing. So it's up to us. If we've accepted Christ, what do we do for him? What do we do for him? We know what he's done for us. We know what he'll do for us. What do we do for him? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for being here today, for listening to your word, Lord, for the understanding that all the prophets were filled in John. Jesus went forward with the blessing of the Father to enlighten us into a new kingdom. As Jesus died, rose again, and ascended into heaven, he sent the Holy Spirit to guide and lead us. And we thank you for that, Lord. And we ask that you would be with us now as we close, in Christ's name. Amen. Let's turn to hymn 466, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Let's just sing the first verse. Once again, I'd like to thank everyone for coming today. And as we go our separate ways, just look for ways that we can help Christ. We can be more like Christ. Just let us live for Christ. And Gene, would you close us in prayer, sir?
Dear Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to come into your house and to sing your praises and to hear your word proclaimed. We ask you to help us to bring this message into our lives and to live it throughout the week. In thy name we pray, amen.
Amen.